Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Let's look at the composite numbers in Kansas City. March wheat at 845 1/4, up 7 1/2. July, 864 1/2, up 6 3/4. March wheat in Chicago, 788 1/2, up 9. July, $8 1/2, up 7 1/4. March corn, 744 1/2, up 4. July, 737 1/2, up 4 1/4. December, 593 3/4, up 2 3/4. March soybeans, 1483 3/4, up 15 1/4. July, 1463 1/4, up 13 3/4. November, 1336, up 8 1/4. March soybean meal, 430.20, up 380. March soybean oil, 53.47, up 61. February live cattle, 127.65, up 2 1/2. March feeders, 148.92 1/2, down 62 1/2. February lean hogs, 87.95, and they are up 35.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
The 24th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is March 5th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And we have a dynamite lineup, including John Bondrand of Bondrand Futures, Murray Wise of Murray Wise & Associates, and University of Illinois ag economist Peter Goldsmith. Our theme this year is Strategies for Market Profitability in 2013. The cost is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. Register now at 217-333-7300 and avoid the registration line. We will take all major credit cards. Call 217-333-7300 and we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line the day of the event. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. Happy cold Friday to you, sir.
5 degrees, I think it is the coldest day thus far this winter.
Yeah, 65 degrees when I hit Chicago on Tuesday afternoon. People were running in shorts, and then when I left, it was 5 below.
Welcome to the Midwest.
No kidding.
I want to talk a little bit in a more broad brush today with you, because you sent along some analysis about super cycles, and I want you to the degree you wish, share them with our audience. And as I was looking through the material, what I saw that seems to be the hinge of all of this is the 2013 U.S. GDP and whether or not that can continue the super cycle that we have been in. And I guess we discount the previous 2 years to some degree from that super cycle because of supply-side concerns. And I want you to let you go ahead and take it from there.
That's a great summation, and I think the thing that drew the attention of this research that I just got done doing, Dave, was one, a report, a fantastic report from the United Nations DESA from February of last year, did a really unique and interesting commodity super cycle look from the mid-19th century to the present. We're in our fourth one right now. The second part of why this analysis kind of was born was because ever since Thanksgiving, we've seen the equities markets follow interest rates and cheap dollar, and commodities follow growth. You know, and today, this week, is a perfect example. I had a client call me from Florida this morning, and he said, why is the S&P 500 up to 2007 levels from mid-December before the big break to the downside of the financial crisis? And I said, I can't give you a good reason, because U.S. GDP earlier this week was dismal. The unemployment figures this morning were not as good as the trade thought. And I think the best answer I can give him is because the interest rate market and the Federal Reserve policy of the last 2 years, along with not being able to rebuild those supplies like you talked about, is what has allowed the equities markets to continue higher. But crude oil and soybeans, which have been very, very closely associated with the equities markets, have not even come close to their old highs from a couple, 3 years ago. And I think this is where the demand side of the equation comes back in to focus. And as I said to the top producer people when I did this breakout session, I said, you know, you guys are the supply side. It's natural you would think about supply and weather. What I'd ask you to think about in 2013 is the demand side. And if we have a weak dollar and weak interest rates that have kept this market going, and those turn against you mid-year, you better have GDP and the United States GDP in particular, as you said, really on your side if you want this commodity super cycle to continue into the rest of the decade.
So can we put a number then on the U.S. dollar as a leading indicator of determining whether or not it's working against the potential super cycle continuing? Could we say 92 and above puts this whole thing in an iffy category?
I think the better way to look at it is the S&P divided by the dollar, Dave.
Okay.
And up at the top before the big break and the financial crisis came about, the S&P was 20 times the dollar index. We're running at about 18 and a half times the dollar index. When that chart starts to reverse, I think that's where you really better have your GDP ducks in a row. Or as I said at the seminar breakout, you're gelding the commodity bull at that point, because as the dollar turns in favor and the S&P turns negative, you've got to have something to replace that, especially if your interest rates and your bond yields are climbing up towards 2.75 to 3% in the 10-year. You better have something to fall back on, and namely the growth. And that's where this paper really did confirm to me the theory that you get an emerging market that has cheap labor, you send money over there that's willing to take risks, you get them to industrialize, you make them urbanize because of that industrialization, you see that diet change, you see your agricultural commodities follow the industrial commodities higher, and it is really about trade. It's really about demand if we're talking about medium term, and that's what's so nice about today's market and this week's market. We've got a weather rally going on in Argentina right now. We've got some price action that's giving us the ability to really lock in some nice prices in 2013, I think these next 15, 20 days, hopefully. And I say do it, because I'm not really, the bottom line for my research is, I'm not real eager about U.S. GDP going forward here. I'm very nervous about it.
The interesting thing that I see in this rally that we've been watching this week is that wheat has not done anything.
Number one feature right next to the corn as to when I get asked the question, what takes the beans up to the next level? In other words, what breaks beans above the technical resistance of that $15 level? What gets the March corn up to $7.65 plus? It's really got to be, in my book, the wheat market and the weather market. And it goes back to Argentina. When I was in Chicago, the first question I asked was, how much has the Brazilian bean crop shrunk versus how much has the Argentine corn crop shrunk? And I think that's where no one really expects the Brazilian bean crop to be shrinking too much right now. They think it's going to be delayed. They really are putting their eggs in the basket of the Argentine crop going down. And if that's the case, it's really more about corn than it is about beans. So feed grains next week, I think, need to take the leadership role. Otherwise, the beans, I think, are going to have a tough and challenging time, especially since I've seen some basis widening today, spreads weak this week, and even the Gulf basis slipped 5 cents this morning.
And I guess the last little piece before we let you go is Informa comes out at 10:30.
Yeah, exactly right. You're going to get pre-positioning, and you've just come off of the January, and you're end of the month, beginning of the month, and it's going to be tough sledding here. So I'd say that the big number to watch for goes back to what you talked about at the beginning, the wheat market. Mm-hmm. March wheat, 200-day moving average, 794. We get a close above that, really opens me up to a lot more favorable trade next week, because this week was a must-win for the fundamental bulls. And so we got what that we needed from a fundamental standpoint. Now can we get the technicals back on our side?
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. March corn, 743.5 up 3. July is 736.25 up 3. December, 593.5 up 2.5. March soybeans, 1479.5 up 11. July, 1459.5 up 10. November, 1333.25 up 5.75. March soybean meal, $4.29.20, up $2.80. March soybean oil, $53.31, now $30, up $44. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.